Recording. And we're being listened to by the AI. So we're still on Perek Yud. Excuse me. We went like one pasuk at a time, basically. Pasuk Hey is Eid Emunim Lo Yechazev. Trustworthy witness will not deceive. The Yafiach Kazavim, someone who literally breathes deception, as he translate. Doubter. I thought we were like breathing. Is to exhale. Exhales the deception. Eid Sheker is a false witness. The idea of being an Eid Sheker, we know. That's one of the big ten no-nos, right? And end of Esrei Dibro, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignob, lo ta'anavriyacha Eid Sheker. Do not be a false witness. But this here is saying something different. Now, this is Mishlei, it's about ethics, about character traits. Because an Eid Sheker is a sin. It's a one-time act. Being a Yafiach Kezavim, someone who exhales falsehood or deception, that's a character trait. And so I was saying that the two go together. That if you're the kind of person who is deceptive, you're not going to be able to stop. It becomes a vicious cycle. You're going to be an Eid Sheker. You're going to end up at this, it's a capital crime. End up in this bad place. Even if you don't intend for that to go far. So you got to get used to telling the truth, otherwise it becomes more of a habit. And we all know Walter Scott's poem, Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Say one lie, then you got to say something else to justify it. Then you got to think about what you said. It gets very complicated. And
Dana, can I ask you a quick question though?
yeah.
At the beginning where it says, where's the one? Eid Emunim Lo Yechazev.
Right.
Yechazev is it won't disappoint. What do you say it means? Lo Yechazev.
Will not deceive, will not say lies.
Ah, okay, that's different than disappoint.
Right. I wouldn't, I would, so I don't think it's talking about how you react to this Adam Nim. This is how the person himself, right? You have to train yourself to tell the truth so you don't end up in the position of being an Eid Sheker. You need to be an Adam Nim. And there's a difference between lechazev, which I'm translating as deception, and sheker, which is a lie or falsehood. And this is the way the Malbim puts it, is yesh hevdel ben sheker ben kezev. There's a difference between a lie and a deception. A sheker is sheker galui. So when sheker means it's obvious, it's clear, this is not the truth. It's galui tega. It's immediately clear. But kezev, nira emet. And kezev is something that might be true. Again, it's deceptive. You're trying to fool somebody. You're not saying that something is obviously not true. But something lets you check it. But eventually, it becomes clear that it's false. Kezev means something that ends doesn't last. It may feel right at the beginning. It doesn't continue. And so he's putting it that if you're tell a lie, then you need to kind of continue to speak deception. You got to maintain it. Even if you're testifying falsely, you're not going to say something that's obviously false, what he's calling sheker. It's tzarich yet to be deceptive. Something that sounds good. And yeshiva devar shlo yakiru shikro. Say something that people don't recognize that it's a lie. Sheker. And then, but eventually it's realized it was false and realized that zendikra kazev. This is a person who's a kazev. I would say it's more about the intention. Not so much being wrong. There may be other reasons to say a falsehood, but saying something that you're trying to lie to other people, trying to fool other people. But someone a faithful witness, I mean, telling the truth will not be deceptive, will not have to say any deceptions. Because the truth is forever. It's a lot easier to be consistent if you're telling the truth. You don't have to think about what your story was, just say what was. Right? As we said in the previous perek, two words last forever. He exhales falsehood, deception. That he is saying things that are not complete. You can't say everything. Can't tell a complete story because it's not consistent. That's the nature of falsehood. Yakir Shikro. Because if you do, you'll end up contradicting yourself, and they'll be obviously you're lying. So he's translating fiach as to whisper. Whisper one, little bits at a time, dibur and just little things at a time. So that I think what he's getting at is that the kozev is someone who intends to deceive. That the falsehood is subtle, that's intentional. Because just saying a false doesn't make you kozev. And the way Alex Ozar wrote an article in, that was in the Lair House. that's what his, I like the word, felicitous. Well put phrase, lying doesn't make you a liar. And that's the difference. The way he puts it, points out in the halakha that a prospective witness, meaning all the standard criteria for eligibility, may be disqualified from testimony on account of his prior conduct. If you violate a sin, then you can't be a witness anymore. Most powerfully, those who have committed grave sins, such as Sabbath violation or murder, are unanimously ruled Risha'im and ineligible out of hand. The lesser crimes, there are several disputes with various rulings depending on the severity and form of the prior violation relative to judicial proceedings at hand. And Gemara says that, and Alex likes big words and long sentences. We like Alex. I also like big words and long sentences. Importantly, it continues, credibility is not all or nothing. Someone convicted of financial crime, thus ineligible for testimony in financial litigation, may remain eligible testimony in capital cases on account of the greater solemnity assumed for the latter. Just because someone is willing to lie for nickels and dimes doesn't mean they'll lie when the stakes are life and death. Similarly, according to Rav Nachman, someone suspected of sexual impropriety remains eligible testimony in general, but is disqualified for cases concerning a woman's marital status. The issue, of course, is that though the man remains perfectly trustworthy in general, that for this purpose his record renders him not credible. Now that's nothing to do with being a liar here. But then the question is, if someone's found to be lying, can they be a witness? And you'd think that, you know, if you be a chazaka, you are known to be a, So someone who doesn't is not telling the truth, you should no one should trust your testimony at all. But the thing is that we've often cited the Midrash that no human being can tell the truth. Right? We call it Kulosh Shkarim. This is the Midrash about creation of mankind. Amar Simon, B'Sha'a Shabbat Baruch Hu Levrot Et Adam Rishon, when Hashem was going to create human beings, Nasu Malachi Asharei Kitim Kitim Chaburu Chaburot, and the various angels separate into very separate camps. Yivra, some of them said, "Don't create man." Yivra, some said, "You create him." Adiktiv, as it says, Chesed Emet Nifgashu, kindness and truth. Nifgashu is usually translated Bashad as being met, got together, but it could also be met in battle. Nashaku, righteousness and peace. Again, nashaku could mean kiss, but also from neshek, they fought with weapons. And so the Medrash is taking the latter approach, that these are the midot, the malachi asharet that were fighting with each other should human beings be created. That's what Amar Yibareh, Shehu Gomel Chasadim. Human beings have the potential to do kindness, good things. Be'emet Amar Al Yibareh, Shekulo Shkarim, and truth said, don't create them because human beings are all lies. Not that they are occasionally say lies, but everything is a lie because they don't know the whole truth. There's no way they can say something that's all entire truth. I've said that many times. Right? We have primitive monkey brains. We can't everything we say has got qualifications. You know, from our perspective, it's as far as we know, it's all limited. There's nothing that's completely too totally true. Tzedek said, Yomar Yivra, shows us a coat. Tzedek like Chesed said, human beings can do good things. Shalom Amar Al Yivra, the Kule Ketata. He said, don't create him, the Kule Ketata, because they are always fighting. So the Chumashir, right? Human beings can't get along with each other and can't be separate. We're all different. We cannot get along. Shalom says, there's no way to have real Shalom either. Masar Kash Baruch Hu, so what Hashem do? Natal Emet V'shtiach La'aretz. Hashem threw Emet down to the ground. Emmet was no longer allowed to vote. The divine level of truth is not relevant to human beings. We have a level of truth on the ground where we can handle. And therefore, saying a sheker doesn't qualify a person for being a witness, because there are lots, because none of us say we're all kulo shkarim. So this is Alex Lazar's conclusion. Bridging the intentional and unintentional thievery issue with our more direct concern of lying. Fascinating ruling in Bava Metzia. Suppose I confront you with a man to return the watch I'd lent you, and you deny having it. If your watch is found to have been on your person at the time of your denial, your lie renders you invalid as a witness going forward. You said, "I don't have the watch," and you did. You're a liar. Done. We don't trust your testimony, as lie was a clear act of intentional thievery. If, however, I'd lent you money, where the presumption is that you were going to spend it, so lending money is not something you have to give back. You don't have to give back the same dollar bills. You have to return the amount. Or if you simply didn't have the watch on hand, your denial is non-incriminating. You're still a valid witness. Why? Gemara says, it may be that rather than intending to do away with my money, you're merely pushing me off, buying time to gather the funds. That's not lying with intent to deceive. That's, I got this. I have some other goal here. I'm not trying to lie to you. Perhaps, though you fully intended to repay the debt in good time, you were worried that if you conceal the debt, your failure to pay on the spot would be damaging in some way. Your concern could neither be particularly well-founded or rational. What matters is that within your own subjective frame, your intent was not criminal. And that's the difference between sheker and kezek. Kezek is you have criminal intent, trying to steal from you. If it was anything else, even if it doesn't make any sense at all, that's not considered kezek. That's not deceptive, and that's not the sort of thing that leads to being an eight sheker. We'll still trust you. It's a matter of mens rea. You ever hear that term?
No, I think you
That's the
did.
law. That's the lawyer's term for criminal intent.
No criminal intent.
Okay, a criminal intent as well as a criminal act. So David and Sefer Tehillim said that everyone is a kazev, everyone's deceptive. Can't trust anybody. Right? Ach hevel b'nei adam, people are vain, are worthless. Kazev b'nei adam, everybody is a deceptive. Masnayim la'alot, if you weighed them on a scale, hema mehevel yachad, they would be outweighed by the mere breath. Everyone's worthless. That's very depressing to him. But then he realizes that was a rash statement. It's not the case, as we say in Hallel. Ani amarti b'chofzi, as I said in my haste, in my stress, as I'm being chased. David says that kol adam kozev, everyone's deceptive. But it's not true. And he's not b'chefez, b'chofzi, my distress. The time to think, it's true that not kol adam kozev. Yes, they're kulo shkarim. No one's got the complete truth, but not everyone is trying to be deceptive, and that's shlomo's. It's got to be the yafia kazavim, right? You breathe and leave deception. That results in a checker. So therefore, if you work on being an edimonim, a faithful witness to the best of your ability, that's what's important. You're going to be an eid emunim, a faithful witness, even if you're not an eid emet. You can't say what absolute truth is. You're human. That's always true. You can be faithful, not trying to deceive. Then Shlomo goes the next pasuk, from the liar to the cynic. Bikesh lets chokhmah v'ayin. The lets. Scoffer, the cynic, one of the sarcastic, seeks wisdom and it's not there. But so for someone who's understanding, knowledge is easy. And we've talked about this lesson before, back in the first perek. I pointed out that Jews love sarcasm. We're all litzim. At some level, it goes way back. We are the famous As Bnei Yisrael are running into Yamsuf. They ask Moshe, "Have a bli ein kvarim Mitzrayim? What? You didn't have enough braves in Egypt?" Everyone's making jokes. You want us to die in the wilderness? Mitzrayim? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Right? That comment of "Have a bli ein kvarim Mitzrayim" is that kind of sarcastic comment, and I'm guilty as well. I usually try to mute. I think of my sarcasm as self-deprecating. I'm not putting someone else down, but my kids are going to be mussar. I've gone too far. And sarcasm is so ingrained to Jewish culture that it's impossible to root it out. Even our greatest Nevi'im gets sarcastic. This is the Eliyahu and Har Carmel. Famous battle with the priests of Baal, Abihibat and as it got to be noon, the Baal priests are trying to get their offering to like to be to catch on fire. Vahi da hel behem Eliyahu, and Eliyahu starts mocking them. Ayomer, kiruba kol gadol, cry out in a loud voice, ki Elohim hu, because your God's real God, right? Kisiyahu, maybe he's having his conversation with somebody else. Kisiyaglo, or he's away. Kiderchlo, he's walking on a trip. Ulay Hashenhu, maybe he's asleep. Bikat, you can wake him up. Again, that's that kind of sarcasm. And the reason why being a cynic is so pernicious is that it's not always bad. Mara says that. Rav Nachman. Kol litzinuta isura. Every example of leitzanut, of cynicism, sarcasm, is forbidden. Chutz mitzinuta davodek kochavim, except when you're making fun of idol worshippers, the Sharia. That's fine. That's okay. Another example, Krabil, Karis Nevo, Baal bows down, Nevo, all these other idols are all kneeling. They're bound together and they can't do anything. They can't move the load. He's making fun of the gods of the other nations. So if Yeshaya does it, Eliyahu does it, it must be okay. And this way, Rabbi Fran puts it. We can lock Lashon Hara away in a forbidden zone because we are never allowed to speak Lashon Hara. We can lock dishonesty away in a forbidden zone because we were never allowed to lie. We can lock sycophantic flattery in a way in a forbidden zone because it's always forbidden. But we cannot do the same for cynicism. We cannot say never be a cynic. It is simply not true. From time to time, you have to be a cynic. Can't believe everything. Can't take everything seriously. But once you let the genie out of the bottle, though, it's hard to push him back in. As the Pachan Yitzchak, as Rav Putner puts it, it's clear this fact that we're allowed to be a left, we're allowed to mock, be cynical, be sarcastic. Lemor, who b'chol pratav shel tzadhara. That's talking about bad things. You can certainly mock if it's if anything that's wrong, any kind of sin. But it's clear. And what it means to be a lit, to be a cynic, is to remove, to destroy any sense of something being important. You're saying this is not important. This doesn't matter. That's what's breaking down. And just being sarcastic, making fun of things, in any case, stam, it increases the amount of zilzul, of not taking things seriously in the world. Maybe a good thing, but it makes the world a little bit worse place. So it's a tough call.
Also, it sort of cheapens the world.
Right, that's the zilzul. It cheapens the whole world. Everything is less important. You don't take anything seriously. Even though that's your weapon to kind of keep you away from all these very tempting things of avodah zarah and kinah and all the bad things that are in the world. If you're mocking avodah zarah, you're hopefully increasing the chashivu. You're increasing the important things, but it's tough. That's the danger here. That someone was saying, Bikesh Letz, that being a Letz, you're doing it, even if you're doing it appropriately, right? You're mocking Avodah Zarah here. That so you now you're seeking Chachma Ba'ayin, you're not going to find it. Because you're not going to think anything's important. You kind of lose track of that. It's just too easy to say, yeah, whatever, about everything. And that's what he's saying over here. Yeah. gotta be very aware, careful of the dangers of being a cynic. But that Navon, but if you understand what's important, then Nakhel, it will be easy to find that dot. Okay, so the less will never find wisdom, even if it's obvious. Keep your sarcasm under control. That was Pesach about. Pesach Zion is about neighbors. Lech minigad le'ish kasil. Stay far away from someone who's a fool. Uval yadata sivtei dat, lest you no longer know, literally, the words of wisdom. You're going to lose your own wisdom by hanging out with a kasil, with a fool. We've seen the idea of like, don't be careful who you stay with in the previous parak when it said, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, where exilim and someone who tends the fools, Yaruah, will have bad things happen. Okay, and here he tells you specifically what's going to happen. What's wrong? You're going to lose your own sense of wisdom. You're going to lose your words of wisdom. That's because the nature of kasil. We've changed it to kasil. There are a lot of words that mean fool in Mishlei. Kasil, we've talked about, meaning someone who is self-assured, who doesn't need to learn from anyone else. I know everything already. And the kasil, basically, everything they say is truthiness. Remember the word truthiness? Stephen Colbert. If you ever watched that,
No, I
this is
thought
how
this
he's.
still meant full.
It does, but there are lots of different words that someone uses for. So we started looking at these different kind of subtleties of what they meant.
Ah,
Seals
okay.
are cool because they're not gonna because they're self-assured. Like some simbo kisilo is to trust in God with a kesel. So someone who's trusting themselves. Like the idea of truthiness is a belief that a
They
particular.
don't have a healthy humility to realize that they don't know everything.
Right. Kasil does not have that. Is the kind of fool who just says things because he knows it's true. Right? Assertion that a statement is true based on the intuition or perception of some individual without regard to evidence, logic, intellectual examiner facts. Truthiness can range from ignorant assertions of falsehood to deliberate duplicity or propaganda intended to sway opinion. And this was it's a fake word invented by a fake person, Stephen Colbert. The comedian whose character, who was Stephen Colbert, parodies the cable news talk shows as a cable show, the Colbert Report. Do you remember you ever see that? I don't think it's on anymore.
I did watch him. I don't know if this Colbert show was the same as this Colbert Report
Yeah,
thing.
this is the Colbert, this is the Colbert, right? So he talked about. He basically his character was meant to be a right-wing newscaster trying to make fun of the right wing. So he was a lefty. He was a mocking there, but he would say things that what's important is not the evidence, but the truthiness. It feels that way. It's truth that comes from the gut, not books. The quality of preferring concepts or fact one wishes to be true rather than facts known to be true. And as Colbert says, I know some of you may not trust your gut yet, but it might help you will. Truthiness is anyone can read the news to you, but I promise to feel the news at you. That's a good seal. Someone who feels the truth at you. They'll say things because they know they're true. And that affects you, right? Having someone in the ear who's saying something determined that this is obviously true, you'll believe that, right? We all know about Samuel Ashe's conformity experiments.
I didn't
It's
know about
famous.
that.
This is in the 60s. All psychology experiments are done with college freshmen. So it's all rich white boys. So everything you think you know about psychology, or basically the statement about rich white boys in 18 or 19 years old in the 1960s and 70s. So I will say that every psychology experiment basically should be read as a mashal. Okay, started out as there was a king who had seven subjects. And so Ash's experiments basically, he had one naive participant in the room with six, seven others who were actually collaborators with him. And the subject had told their partner vision test, here's a line, which one is the same, and a couple of other choices, which one is the same length? And the subject was the last person to be asked. And they would go around the room, and the collaborators would say something that was clearly wrong. You know, this is this short line and this long line are exactly the same length. And they'd all say that with absolute certainty. When you kind of get to that, to the last person, says nearly 75% of the participants of the conformity experiments went along with the rest of the group at least one time. Even something that was clearly and totally obviously false. No, ready to go. Are the pictures? No, they don't. I thought we had pictures here somewhere. There we go. Guessing like that, right? Which of these three lines is the same length as this one?
B?
Would you say B?
I said C.
C, yeah, all right. That's clearly the right answer. But
It is?
if you were going around the room and the previous five, seven people said A, and the other guy says, oh yeah, A. Yeah, A, that's obvious. A. What would you do when it got to you?
Probably say A.
Well, you're right. That's just what we are. We automatically kind of, you got it. It's like you doubt yourself then, right? Well, what are they seeing? They seem like smart people. So that was his experiments there. It's not really reproducible, but again, it's a muscle there. We get along. Someone who says something with absolute confidence, everybody, other people, a lot of people say it, you're going to agree with it. So that's why it's important to lech mineged l'ish, stay away from the kasil. Val yadata sifte da, because then if you do, you'll lose your own sense of wisdom. And this is a quote from Mark Twain, who's always right. Okay. That Mark Twain, and this was actually in an essays that were found after he passed away. But morals, religions, politics get their following from surrounding influences and atmospheres almost entirely, not from study, not from thinking. Man must will have his own approval, first of all, in each and every moment and circumstance of his life, right? You've got to do what you think is right. Even you must repent of a self-approved act the moment after commission, and even if you change your mind later, in order to get a self-approval again. But speaking in general terms, a man's self-approval, you know, in the large concerns of life, has its source in the approval of the people around him. That determines what you think is the right thing, and not in a search on personal examination of the matter. So the person, it's important, careful who you listen to, because that will affect how you're thinking. Lech mineged l'ish kasil. Stay far away. And then Shlomo keeps that extend that thought. Pasuk Chet, Chachmat Arum, Hevin Darko. Wise, the wisdom of a clever person who thinks about details. Hevin Darko understands where they should go, understands how to act. But Avelet Kisilim Mirman. Here you have three different words for fool. The foolishness of a fool is deceptive. There's a difference there. We're talking about avelet or the avil. We've talked about within the concept of mishle means the person who knows the right thing to do but does wrong anyway. Use the Greek word akrasia, acting against your own best interests. Ksil thinks they know everything and won't learn. So sometimes the Kseel will do th will know the right thing. Sometimes they're right, just because they don't learn from anybody. Sometimes they're right, right? You know, even a stop clock is right twice a day. Though, as I think that metaphor makes any doesn't make any sense anymore because nobody has clocks that actually stop. But still, stop clocks is right twice a day, but it doesn't matter because that correctness is what we're calling avel kseelim. We know the right thing to do, but it will lead to the right action. Because the Ksil treats everything as mirma, as deceptive. And it's not an intent to lie by Kosev, but mirma is that sense of Well, I'm not caring about the truth. It doesn't matter. I'll just say whatever I want to say. The casual disregard for the truth. So chokhmah is the opposite. Call that. Again, we use Aristotle's term phronesis, meaning the knowledge of right and wrong that leads to the right action. That's what's important. And that if we start with the being the kasil and man, not caring about the truth of our actions, we end up with a lack of awareness of one. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, not caring about the truth of one's speech leads to the not caring about the truth, the rightness of one's actions. So we need to have zirizut of mindfulness, being aware of what you're doing, and both in speech, and what we do. And this is the we said Yerushalayim talks about the first step on this mesila, on this path of the righteousness, is rizut, is inyanu shel mindfulness. The idea of mindfulness is understood. That's the beginning to do mitzvah. You're doing the right thing. That's why Pesachim says zrizim makdimim. If you're mindful, you'll do mitzvah. If not, you're the avil, you're just not going to care. This is even though that you need awareness to avoid sin, and save yourself from evil, that you will not do the wrong thing. You have to be aware. It requires great awareness, vashkafa, and foresight. To do mitzvot, and to merit doing them, not to lose them. You have to take your actions seriously and do the right thing. So Shlomo comes back to the cynic and he says, "Avilim yalitza Hashem." Again, the avil, the one who knows the right way to act but doesn't bother doing it, is yalitz Hashem, which Rashi translates yalitz as like a melitz, a spokesman. That their Hashem, their sin offering, will be a spokesman. And he says, "Avilim yalitz Hashem shehem chotaim," that when they sin, and they have to earn money that the where they sinned against, Yalitz Badam Hashamam, that their sin offering obtains their returning it, that will be a they'll speak in their behalf. And we use that meaning on Rosh Hashanah, one of the piyutim we say, it says, Be'ein Melitz Yosher. We've no honest spokesman. We're looking for someone who will speak on our behalf. That's the idea of a Melitz, Yalitz Hashem. But the pasuk says, "Avilim yalitz Hashem, ratzon," and among there is ratzon, there is favor among the righteous. So presumably, that's a contrast there, that somehow the righteous are finding favor, and the avilim are not. And so that the other mefarshim connect yalitz to the letz, to the cynic above, that the fool treats an Hashem sacrifice, their sacrifice offering, they're trying to they're doing tshuva cynically. It doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. So then I do real tshuva. And the yashar, who does take it seriously, will get ratzon, ratzon Hashem. Ends up with mechila for what they did wrong. That's in Menashra. Avelim yalitz Hashem. The fool will be sarcastic about an Hashem, about their guilt. Amelis bin Atam, Kumra yalitz lo Hashem, they will be letz, they will be cynics, meaning they will mock making, giving an Hashem offering, a guilt offering. Hashem, if he's going to do, he's going to offer an Hashem, he'd look tzitz. He'll be sarcastic about it. Omer she'enamoyal, I'll say it doesn't matter. V'shvilkach so they're not going to bother bringing it. They're not going to try doing tshuva. Jaina bor yerechet, as it says in Pirkei Avot, the fool doesn't fear sin. And so they don't take any of the laws seriously. While Hashem eats like a Shamayim, but someone who's righteous will take their guilt seriously, will offer a sacrifice, will do tshuva, that's what it symbolizes, and they will get ratzon with the makom, and they will get God's will, that they will be forgiven. And specifically, this korban asham that the fool treats cynically. Because there's a korban asham and a korban chatat, and those are different things. The chatat starts with, im nefesh achat. This is a Torah description. If someone sings negligently, accidentally, you need to do it on purpose. Someone does the wrong mitzvot and is guilty. And then finds out that what they did was wrong. They karbano, and he has to bring a karban. Sirati zim nekeva, a she-goat or a kid, achatosh achata, whatever sin they did. That's a chata. You did something bishkaga, or you did it unaware, and then you found that afterwards you bring a chata. Hashem is different. Hashem offering is im nefesh techata, a person sins, vasta achat mikom mitzvot Hashem lo tesen, and does one of these mitzvot you're not supposed to do, lo yada, and had no idea. Hashem was guilty, and they will have to bear their guilt. Maybe ayal tamim have to bring a ram from the sheep in its specific value, which the previous paragraph said was 2 shekelim. Lashem kohen, that's a korban Hashem. Kohen and the kohen will arrange for the atonement for this negligent sin of huliyada that he didn't know about. Nisbachlo were forgiven. Hashem, who it is an Hashem, it is a true guilt. Hashem, 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 he certainly was guilty before God. And the difference is the Asher lo yada. The Chatat is brought to atone for sin, a sin done negligently, Meshuggah. The Hashem is brought to atone for a sin that possibly never happened. You're not sure if you even did it or anything. That's an Hashem. This is Rashi. Right? Inu. Daber, that is Hashem offering. Is talking about Misha Basa fake karet liyado. He has a doubt whether he did the sin, which he was chayav karet. Lo yada im avara labo im lav. Not sure if he did it wrong or not. Begon chaylev v'shemen lefanav, like you had chaylev, which is kosher fat, and the chaylev, the forbidden fat that's supposed to be offered on the korban. You can't eat that. V'shemen and regular and just fat of an animal. That's perfectly fine. And you know, yeah, two pieces, and you ate one of them. Shitayan had there, and he thought they were fine, but Achal Dachad and ate one of them. Amrulo Achat, and afterwards finds out one of them was Caleb. So you got a 50% chance that you ate a non-kosher meat. Achal, and you're not sure which one you ate. Hareze mivi asham tovo. This is called an asham taloi, a conditional offering. That's the korban asham. And this atones as long as you don't know whether you definitely sinned or not. But afterwards you found out, oh yeah, the one you ate, that definitely was not the kosher. That was definitely the not kosher one. You definitely sinned. You definitely did the avera. It was b'shogeg. It wasn't intentional. It was negligent. Then you have the chatat, then you have to bring the chatat on. And what's odd about that is that the korban asham, we said it had a fixed value, it's be'er kecha, which, as Mizrahi says, it's shtei salim, is 2 shekel. We know that. But a korban chatat is a goat, which is much cheaper. Mara specifically uses the word a danka, which is a Persian coin, which is 1/24, 1/24 of a 1/24 of a shekel, and your asham is 2 shekels, so it's 1/48 the value of a korban asham, which seems backwards. But the penalty is greater if you're not sure if the sin ever happened. If you know the sin happened, then you bring a chatat, which is cheap. If you don't know whether you did the sin or not, then you're being a much more expensive korban. But the lesson is that being negligent, not knowing, is much worse sin in the sense that it's a lot harder to do better if you weren't paying attention in the first place. Tam Hashem Teloi, reason for offering this Hashem Teloi, this conditional sin offering, Nesha Ba'alav Savor, She'en Alav Onesh, because the person who does it may figure there's no real punishment. Kilona Dach, he's not sure if he sinned at all. And that's why it's much more chumrah. It's a much bigger sacrifice you have to bring than if you were actually were sure. It's too easy to blow it off. I probably did it right anyway. That's the less. That's the mocking. It's Yucha Ayel B'Kesef Shkalim, and he has to bring it a ram which is worth 2 shkalim. Oh, if you knew for sure, okay, you definitely sinned, that's wrong. Maybe a chatat batanka, then you can bring a chatat, which is 1/48 the price. As the Torah says, Nirki, shame asham. That's why it's called a carbon asham, that you're really guilty. Moral devar gadol, asher says, so you chashev liot shamim. Like your asham is, you should be ashamed, asham, shamim, which you should be destroyed, wiped out. This is a serious sin. Not being sure whether you sinned or not is a much worse than being sure that you did the wrong thing. Because it meant you weren't paying attention. You just didn't care. Because a chatat, we're on the chet means to miss. Whereas in Shoftim talks about Binyamin being great archers, El Sha'ar, El HaSa'ara, Lo chet, right? They can aim at a hair and not miss. Not as bad as a Rasha. So that connects the Litz, the Sinik with the Mirma, with not caring about the truth.
Yeah, I can ask you a question.
Sure.
Since everybody has to start somewhere, let's say basically your opinion is because you're more pulled by the secular world and you don't know that much Torah, even though you know you're Jewish and everything. I'm not saying you're not Jewish, but because you're basically ignorant or you don't have much learning, so you start there as opposed to somebody who actually does go to school and learn and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm just
Right.
saying, like, the Torah has to make room for everybody that's, you know.
Right. But the lessons here are still, and this even before you start doing the Averis, doing the right thing, it's just the starting from the position of not being less, of actually caring about doing the right thing. That's a good place to start. And I would say that even if what your idea of a right thing is wrong, you still can get better from there. If you don't care at all, then you've got no place to improve, no way to improve.
Yeah.
That's why I really don't have problems with all the kind of the liberal idea of tikkun olam, which far too often is, 180 degrees off
What
from the right behavior. But in terms of personal development, you care about something. You can learn from there.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You could start somewhere, even if
You
you're totally
start
way
somewhere there. You can get better there. Okay? That's the part by caring about doing the right thing. You can get the details of that later. I mean, obviously, it may be dangerous until then, and people who care about the wrong thing and passionately can be very dangerous. But at least they have room to improve.
Yeah.
Being
Yeah.
less, you got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So we'll stop here.
Thank you, Danny.